This is the best time of the morning. Best time of the morning. So you guys take your seats. You can turn me up a little bit there. All right. As you guys take your seats, stay standing. We're going to jump into the Word of God. Good morning. Good morning. I don't get to say good morning to anybody, but I'll say good morning. Let me say it again. Good morning. Pastor up here all by herself. Good morning. Hey, let me say this. Where did she go? Amenzi, where did she go? There she is. Can we give her a round of applause for announcements? What some of you may not know, serving under Mick up at Stony Creek, 9 years of announcements. It's hard. Right, some of y'all know it's 9 years, 9 years, but awesome job this morning communicating that information. It is my utter honor to be here with you. I know you're standing, and if you need to sit, that's okay. We're going to get in the scripture in just a second. Can I share something, just my heart, just for a second before we jump into God's word? It's good to be home. Man, I for those of you who don't know, I serve with Youth for Christ East Michigan, so I'm at different churches, so when you don't see me here, I'm at another church preaching, and man, when I get to come home, anybody know what that feels like? Like putting on them old slippers, the ones you got at home that's kind of hanging on, and it just feels so good. You know you should throw them away, but you're not because they feel so good. So let's give God a hand clap of praise for what he's doing here at Mosaic. Amen. And though he's not here, somebody asked me this morning, though he's not here, Pastor Mick is up in Traverse City this morning. We do exist on the same plane, so you'll see us together at some points. Some people are like, we never see you two together. We do. We're not the same person. He's very tanned, but not that tan. You follow what I'm saying? Follow what I'm saying? All right. So if you got your Bibles, Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to be. Open them up. It'll be on the screen behind me. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. How many of you heard me preach about a month ago? Okay, I'm going to call everybody out. How many of you weren't here to hear me preach a month ago? Y'all was downtown in Belle Isle. I know where y'all was at. Uh-huh. Well, anyway, I opened up with this topic of fear. And we're going to talk in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8 about fear. And I got to tell you, how many, just even in Janice's prayer this morning as she talked, man, there's fear going around the world right now. And I'm not just talking about the natural disasters that we've seen playing out in our society, but there's just a lot of fear. And my prayer is that you will walk out of those doors this morning knowing, and if you don't know, then you're going to know, that we serve an amazing God that's on the throne that doesn't give us into fear. Amen? Amen? Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, you guys follow along with me. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Verse 2, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Church, verse 5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. That's a good amen moment. Amen. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I could stop right there. That's a good 30-minute sermon right there. Stay with me. Verse 7, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Heavenly Father, as we have come this morning, I pray just a blessing on every one of my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that as we have gathered this morning, we have sang praises, we have prayed for those around us, we have acknowledged what you're doing in the next generation. I pray right now, Lord, that you would be with my very words, that it would not just be words from a paper, but words from not only my heart, but your heart, dear God. So move us this morning, Lord. And if there's something getting in the way of us being moved, then get it out of the way, Lord. In your son we pray. And all God's people said, All God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. I'm fired up this morning. Anybody else? I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize. You ever wake up in the morning and you got that like raspiness in your throat? I know the weather's changing. I tell you, I woke up this morning. You know what I did? I told the devil, devil, not today. Some of y'all need to say that too. Maybe you got indigestion. Maybe it needs to be the Holy Spirit. You follow me? You go get to lunch in a minute. Stay with me. 4 points I want to give you that talks about fear. Now, we've been in this scripture, and Pastor Mick has shared with me, and I get to watch him every Tuesday on the radio broadcast. I saw Pastor Mark on there. Shout out, Pastor Mark. Mark, you're very photogenic on camera, just so you know. He said that's the only place. Wait, very photogenic. I got to watch Pastor Mick this last week and connecting with him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. If you aren't memorizing it, it is the verse to memorize. For God has not given us. And what? But he has given us what? Power, love, and self-discipline. Memorize that scripture. If you don't have that, that's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Underline it. Write it down someplace. Memorize that scripture, because I got to tell you, church, we're in a world filled with fear. Fear. I am giving praise to what God did with this youth group up at Wesleyan Woods. These two young ladies, I'm sure, the one picture that stood out to me is my brother Miguel. Yes, I'm putting you on blast because you're sitting right there looking at me. I see you. That's him right there. Who was floating in the water with Sammer. Now, Sammer, did he swim? See, you are 10 times ahead of me. I'm trying, y'all. I'm going to be in that class with my little two-year-old. I don't know how to swim. Now, I got one story for you, a couple of stories, but this one stands to prominence of a time where I experienced fear when I didn't need to fear. I was house-sitting for a pastor that I was serving with, and, you know, he had a swimming pool. Now, when you don't know how to swim, swimming pools can be very dangerous. Follow what I'm saying? When you don't know how to swim, stay with me. So, I've got to keep a good house. Him and his wife were getting ready to come home from vacation, so I decided to get that long, I don't even know what you call it, but it's got a little net on, you're going to get the leaves out the pool. Follow what I'm saying? Some of you have heard this story, but it's so true. I was so afraid. So I'm skimming the pool, and it's around, you know, it's maybe a pretty decent July afternoon. And, you know, Jason sometimes thinks his arms are a little longer than they really are. So I started stretching. I did the stretch. Now, I'm not going to stretch because I ain't falling. I'm just showing you. I did the stretch. And there was that one leaf, and I tried to reach it, and lo and behold, Pastor Jason fell in. Don't y'all laugh, because it could have been one of y'all, too. I fell, and let me tell you, I wish there could have been a video camera, America's Funniest. I'm flailing around. I'm drowning. It's the end of my life. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my wife. I don't know what's going on until I stood up, and the water was right. Until I stood up. I was so afraid. I mean, the water was right here. And literally in that moment, don't you ever have those moments where you really pray that nobody else is watching? And you know somebody else is watching? The neighbor is watching this all play out. And this precious senior said he had to be about 60, 65. He is like doubled over in laughter. Now, if you would think, amidst the screams of desperation, if I'd have just like looked over and seen him laughing, maybe I'd have stood up quicker. So I did the typical Jason move. I got up. You know, I'm soaked because I was splashed. I would have only been soaked from knee down. I get up, and I looked at him, and I said, yeah. And I was hoping to never see that neighbor again. Let me tell you about fear, right? I was hoping to never see him again. But what happens? The couple I was house sitting for comes home. They pull in the driveway. This man moved faster than I ever seen him move. He's coming out crying. He's still laughing. He's telling the story. They start laughing. I'm looking out the blinds like, Lord, have mercy. But in that moment, I was afraid. So I looked at that part, that picture of Miguel, and I'm like, oh, man, look at him go. Because when we're not conquered by our fears, God can move. That scripture in 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, we are not ruled by our fears. We have power to self-discipline ourselves. I said this when I was here a month ago. It's a daily journey, amen? It is. I got to tell you, I'm excited to preach this morning. I got to calm down. No, I don't. Let's go. Romans 5, 1 through 8, 4 points, and I want to give it to you. Where's God challenging you this morning? when it comes to fear. Four ways that when we deal with change, we don't give in to fear. So if you want to write that down, four ways that when we have change happen in our life, we don't let fear take over. Does that make sense? You follow me? Four ways that when change comes, we don't fear. This week, and I'd be sad if I didn't admit this, I have family members that live down in West Palm, Florida, and I was sharing with some of you before service. My sister-in-law and her husband and three kids live down in West Palm, and they, obviously heeding the evacuation, West Palm is just north of Fort Lauderdale, were ready to fly out. They had their tickets to leave Thursday. All of a sudden, their flight got canceled, and they couldn't get another flight, so they had to stay. Thankfully, my brother-in-law began making fortifications around the house, and we've been, I mean, if you've been watching anything, like the Weather Channel, I've never watched the Weather Channel in my life till now. I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm like, and I'm just praying. I'm just praying, and I'm praying. And my brother-in-law, he's a pastor, also strong man of God, and you know, we sent them texts, and we've been communicating with them, and it's not so much the hurricane that's being affected on that West Palm, Fort Lauderdale, it's the tornadoes. They had three tornadoes touch down in a 70-mile radius. Didn't do much damage, but still three tornadoes. You see, there are people down there. You look at these, sidebar, before I get to the four points, why do they have people standing outside in the middle of a tornado? You ever thought that? Anybody think like me? I'm like, get in the house. Go somewhere else. I trust that your weather report is going to be great. Anybody there? Like, you see, and they're holding on like this. I'm like, go in. No. That was just a little sidebar. Just take that for what it's worth. Four things that when change comes in our life, if we can just, man, hold on to Jesus. Hold on. The first one, you can write this down. Make God your priority. Put that down. Write it down, highlight it, circle it, whatever you got to do. Make God your priority. We live in a society where God's just not a priority until something goes wrong. Ever notice that? And I got to tell you, I want God to be my priority day after day after day. I want to cry out hallelujah day after day after day after day. Why? Because he changed my life. When change doesn't have to be a bad thing. Write that down too. It does not. We think, oh my goodness, you know, if there's a job change or, you know, if something happens with my kids or something happens with my family, then that's not a good thing. Maybe God, I said this in prayer this morning, is moving some things out the way. You ever think about that? We pray about the mountains to move, but what about the mountains that you don't even know about that God is moving? Let's give him glory for that. Make him your priority. Remembering this, fear will not last for always. It will not. Oh, yes, and you know, this is not a guilt trip, and this is not something I've got a mastery over, but God put this on my heart, even as I've just been watching what's been going on in our world the last month. Little did I know a month ago when I preached about fear that all the stuff was going to happen in the next, and that's just how life is. But we don't have to be dominated by that. When you make God your priority, you can come encounter with something, and you walk away like this, spiritually. Maybe some of y'all, come on, I want everybody to do that. Everybody stand up. Yeah, it's exercise. It's okay. I got my Fitbit on too. We're going to do this. Okay? Everybody stand up. I want you to just do like this. I could use a Taylor Swift analogy, but I'm not. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yes. Doesn't that feel good? Woo. You can sit down now. That feels good. Maybe when you go to work tomorrow, I'm stepping on some toes, but I'm going to do it. You're going to work tomorrow, and that coworker sitting there, I talked about them last time I was here, right? Mad because they had a bad weekend. Just because the Lord is on the throne and he is my priority. My priority. Make God our priority. And stop worrying. Oh, that's another sermon I'm going to preach down the road. I got to get there. I got to preach that one. We worry. We know that scripture that talks about, well, you know, the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, they don't worry. But we worry, what's going to happen? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? And you know what? I got to tell you, especially if you have children or you have children around you, you worry. I look at these guys in this youth group and I see them growing up. Man, we've been around each other like 5 or 6 years and you guys ain't got rid of me yet, though I thought you thought about it, but that's okay, right? But change happens. One of the major conversations we had with as a youth group, Pastor Mark, myself, and the staff, we all sat down and said, you know, as you guys are transitioning to Mosaic, and they may remember this is your church. Don't come here and hold down the pew. It's nailed down. I promise it won't go anywhere. Right? Come here and serve. Come here and be a face. Come here and grow. And maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, man, it's just so good to see young. Anybody feel that way? It's so good to see young people praising the Lord because you don't see it out there. When you make God your priority, things change. Things change. I got to tell you guys, I'm in a lot of different churches. I said it earlier, it's good to be home, but I'm in a lot of different churches. And I've walked into some churches and it's like, man, where's the Holy Spirit? And I'm not saying that in a judgmental tone. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm telling you, if you don't know it, now you know. You got something special here. And all glory goes to God. All glory goes to God. Making God your priority. You know, I think sometimes fear is like a Band-Aid. How many of you love ripping off Band-Aids? Nobody. Wait. Where there's one in the back. I'll pray for you later. I'm praying for you later. Right? I am that guy. When I was a kid, you put, and I had to really, you know, the Sesame Street Band-Aids because, you know, my mom thought that was going to make it feel better or something. And I remember that thing would be hanging on. And mama, just rip it off. Just take it off. Oh, rip it off sounds bad, doesn't it? But just take it off. And I just didn't want to. Why? Because it was going to hurt. Well, you know what? In life, and I'm not educating some of you know this, but you need to hear it. Sometimes you just need to rip that Band-Aid off and let the Holy Spirit heal it. I don't know who that was for, but take it for what it's worth. Rip it out and pray and say, God, I got this wound that needs healing. The problem is we try to cover it up and disguise it. We don't want people to know. We don't want people. Let me tell you something. Be transparent. And if you don't do it here, you can't. If you think you can't do it here amongst your brothers and sisters, you'll never do it out there. I love it. Me and Mick joke about this. The greeting time is awesome. Honestly, I'm saying it. It is all because I watch you guys just go around talking to everybody and greeting and going to the back and going to, why is that so important? Because we can sit here, we get the word of God, praising God for that, we worship and stuff, but this is a community. You follow it? This is a community. I said this morning, I don't know why God put this on my heart, but when we're out there praying or when we're singing worship, you know what I pray for and God put it on my heart this morning? I said, I pray for the people walking by. Yes? I pray for the people walking by that hear his worship and it's like, what's that? And I pray that God would break their hearts, that they would know that they need God as their priority, that they know that they don't have to fear walking into this building. Why? Because there's Bible-believing, God-loving people that want to love them with everything they got and eat corn in a couple of weeks. How about that? Right? Right? I love it. And when we're that way, fear won't get in. Fear won't get in. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. We have peace. We have peace. We have peace. You know, most Americans struggle with times in silence. Gotta keep moving. Gotta keep moving. Gotta keep moving. But it's in those moments, I got to tell you, that I find the Holy Spirit speaks to me. You say, oh, that's just because you're a pastor. No, it's not. It's obedience. And I find when there's too much chaos in my life, I got to say, stop. Stop. And whatever those things that are getting away of God being my priority, I got to brush them off. And here we go. Sometimes that's people in our life. Don't blame me. That's the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying you get rid of people. I'm not talking. I'm saying you stop letting them influence you. I challenge these guys all the time. I say, listen, be the influencer and don't be influenced, especially if it's a bad influence. Problem in this world is that charismatic person becomes the influencer. I don't want you guys to look at me and think, oh, he's got it all together, because trust me, I don't. Some of you know me and you're like, yep, he does it. And I'm okay with that. But when we make God our priority, we can look beyond the person and say, you know what? Man, I don't need to give in to fear because God's on my side, amen? Second point, so not only making God your priority will deal with fear, but be assured, second point, be assured he will never leave you nor forsake you. I used forsake because I felt like going King James on you, but there you go. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. See, Paul is writing to the Romans and he's like, listen, we're called to stand in his grace. We are called by a higher calling. And let me tell you something. It's not based on your talent. I would love, and Miss Holly knows this, Mikella knows this too, I can't sing. Some of y'all say amen, because we all want me up here singing. I love to sing, and usually, thankfully, I had Janice next to me for a few moments to drown me out. I usually have my wife next to me, drowns me out, because when I hear the other day, I was singing a worship song in the car, and my own son looked at me, I am not making this up, looked at me and went, shh. I lost it. I could not stop laughing. I'm looking in the rearview mirror like, Daddy, shh. Now, when Scripture says make a joyful noise, we get that. And some of you are sitting there and saying he's ripping on the fact. I'm just saying that's just not my gift. I love to sing, but maybe people around me don't love to hear me sing. That makes sense? Amen. Got it? But in those moments when my heart is just unified with God, I don't know about you, but I know he will never leave nor forsake me. He will never, ever leave me. People will leave you. Situations will try to do you down, take you away from God being your priority, but God will never leave you nor forsake. Think about that. So I want you to say it with me. Can we do that? On the count of three, you're gonna say, God will never leave me. And I want you to say it as loud as you can. You ready? 1, 2, 3.
God will never leave me.
Yes! Now let's say it all the time. When you're encountering those situations where something's trying to beat you down, let's say it all the time. When 2 Timothy 1:7, man, I need self-discipline. That's big. That's big, right? Because it's one thing to say it here amongst our brothers and sisters, but what about when you're out there? What about when that waitress is just a little late with your food and you're getting frustrated? Huh? You see, what we realize is when we make God our priority, we realize that point number two, he will never leave nor forsake us. So when you react to fear, do you draw close to God? Think about this. Or do you draw away from God? I've talked to some people. They typically will do one of these, this is all going wrong in my life. And I acknowledge that there's some things going on. But then they immediately want to do like this. And where is God? Where is God? And that's when I say, you just wait. Just wait. You may be one prayer away from him answering. And I love how Mick says this all the time. Maybe God is trying to teach you something. And what does Mick always say? Teach me fast, God, right? Teach me fast. I love that. I've made that a part of my life. Teach me quick and fast. Let me learn it and let me move on. But while you're in that storm, we make God our priority and realizing he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Verse 2 says, we rejoice in our hope. We rejoice in our hope. See, my definition of fear and hope, actually, I was thinking this. I said, what happened in my life that actually gave me a better appreciation for hope in spite of fear, for when there things are changing, for hope? And the example I could come up with, knowing that I could have hope, is cutting the grass for my dad. Yes. See, some of you grew up with those nice riding lawnmowers up north. Right? I always thought, why does that work? You're just driving the thing with the earphone, whatever. Some of you grew up with that. Some of you grew up with those nice electric lawnmowers that started up on the first try, not the 150th try. But Jason grew up with that lawnmower with the 3 blades. Come on, y'all. I'm still in recovery. And that bag on the back. And for those of you who don't know, Google it later, but those 3 blades used to spin like this. Anybody with me? And for some reason, I never cut the grass right for my dad. Because he liked it cut straight, then he did the diagonal. Anybody have parents like that? I used to, anytime he'd be like, Jason, it's time to get up to cut the grass, I'd want to cry. And I remember having hope that I could do this the right way, the way he wanted it. But I hated cutting the grass. And it was always the hottest day. It was 185 degrees outside, something like that. And I'd be out there. You see, it's that kind of hope that I think, as much as I want to please my earthly dad, we need to want to please our heavenly father in the same way. Think about that. Because I didn't want him to have to come out and do it. Anybody been there? I wanted to do it myself. So I'd go and I'd try. And you know, I remember moments, I've talked to my dad about this since then. He would actually watch outside the window. He'd just be kind of watching. I'm like, really? He's like, I said, why would you do it? He said, you know what? I just want to see how much pressure you were putting on yourself. It was going to get done. I said, well, what am I supposed to learn from that? Take that lesson and do it with your son someday. I said, oh, really? Yes. You see, when it comes to hope, man, when we make God our priority and when we know that he will never leave nor forsake us, we will live differently. We will. I tell you, we'll be able to worship on the worst day of our life. We'll be able to pray when our knees just don't feel like kneeling. I'm not talking physically. I'm just talking like emotions. Just like, okay, God, I've been asking, I've been seeking you, but I just don't feel your presence. Keep trying. Do you ever react to fear with the knowledge that Jesus Christ will never leave nor forsake you? David, and I love the fact that Janice read from Lamentations. David lamented. Man, he, and I talked about him last time I preached with you guys. He was a man after God's only heart, own heart, but he made a mistake. He accounted for that mistake, but there were some consequences. Maybe your fears are simpler. Perhaps you have the fear this morning, stay with me, that you can't do something. Maybe there's something in you right now that's saying, you know what, I'm hearing you, Pastor, but I can't do that. As a youth pastor, you know what I get all the time? I get, oh, that was fine and good what Katie does with the youth and what goes on here Wednesday night, but man, I don't know about teenagers. They're kind of scary. Don't look over at them. They'll look back at you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, here's the thing. They kind of think the same thing about you guys. Just to understand it. And people will come to me, I don't know if I can work with youth. Well, let me tell you, yes, you can, because we serve a God that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul wrote that too. You follow me? So maybe you're sitting here and saying, you know, okay, that's fine and good. And I want to give this to you. Katie, raise your hand. Everybody saw Katie up on stage. She's going to be back at the check-in booth as you leave. And church, we need you. In a couple of weeks, September 20th and 27th, we're going to have a great hangout time with a bunch of teens, and which is kind of a soft launch where we launch into the year, and then we have CCDA the following week, and then that week, I believe October 11th, we start Wednesday night, 6 to 7:30. I got to tell you, you need to be here. If you can at all serve, you need to be here. And this is not a pitch just for the youth. This is a pitch for the next generation. Follow me? You say, well, where could I help out? I don't know if I could do it like a small group or anything. Just to be here. We actually have leaders who have small children that if you could watch their small children for an hour once a month, wow, 6 to 7:30, it would be huge. Or maybe you could say, I just want to come and pray. I want to come and pray over the facility while the teens are worshiping or while the teens are in the Word. Let's do it, church. So before you leave, if you have, honestly, if God is perking your heart and saying, I just want to know how to get involved, even if it's just prayer, but it could be any of those things. We need a van driver. Do you guys think they get here by themselves? No. You say, well, once a month I can drive a van. Katie will get you on the path. And again, our part of me wants to say we're not trying to inconvenience you, but let's be real. Some of us need to be inconvenienced sometimes. I don't know who that was for, but take it for what it's worth. That was for me, I tell you. Some of us need to say, you know what? I can give up an hour and a half once a month or twice a month to drive a van or to pray or to watch some little ones. Maybe you say, I'd love to be kind of assist with the small groups as they do them. What is it? What is it? Because ladies and gentlemen, I travel to 16 schools and many churches, and we're experiencing an epidemic in our culture. 11 to 19-year-olds are not going to church as a rule. And I'm not saying that to glorify that. I'm saying it's the facts. What you see is what I like to call the remnant. And they are faithful. I'm telling you, we've had some amazing conversations, some amazing times together, but we want more. And this whole area is filled with students that need the life-changing touch of Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all can give an amen for that. Yes. And if we say, I'm going to make God my priority, and I know God will never leave nor forsake me, but we hold back and say, oh, I don't know if I can do that, or if it's not teens, maybe it's children's ministry. Become involved in your church. Stop by and see Katie. I double dog dare you to do it. And watch God bless you. I said it. I double dog dare. Do it and watch. I have found in my own life when I serve, God moves. Not that he only moves with that, but I feel strengthened. You follow me? Again, Katie will be available after service. Two more points. Stay with me. Making God the priority. He will never leave nor forsake me. I said this point with my last message, and I'm going to say it again. When it comes to fear, when it comes to change and dealing with change, trust that he has a plan for you. Point number three, trust that he has a plan for you. I'm not talking about what you're going to eat in 1 hour. Okay? I'm talking about God has an amazing plan, an amazing journey for each and every one of us. You ever thought about that? All of us in this room, that he wants to take you to a place you never, ever expect. I had an opportunity to have lunch with three of my college friends that we went to University of Detroit Mercy, graduated, and some of you, I shared this, a little bit of the story last time, graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Biology, and I'm a pastor, shows you how God moves, right? Some of y'all are like, would he be anybody's doctor? God didn't have that plan for me, it's okay, all right? Graduated, and four of us went, and kind of got connected through Facebook, and we all went out to lunch down at Starbucks, actually, right around the corner, and which is one of my favorite restaurants, just saying. So we're sitting there eating, and, you know, everybody's talking about their families and their kids and their jobs and stuff, and all of a sudden, the attention got directed at me, and I kind of knew this was coming. So keep in mind, I am sitting with an endocrinologist, scientist, a nephrologist, works on the kidneys and liver, a pharmacist, and a pastor. Sounds like a funny joke, doesn't it? Endocrinologist, huh? So the four of us are sitting, and all of a sudden, they start laser focusing on me. And they said, so we see that you're a pastor. And one of the young ladies goes, she gets like, she's wearing like close talk. She goes, how did that happen? One, and then people actually trust you with their kids? And that wasn't a read. That wasn't trying to be. She remembered me from college. And there's nothing about me in college that would have actually got you thinking, oh, he's going to be a pastor, or oh, he's going to serve with youth. But you see, when God takes you on a journey, he is there, and he has a plan. I didn't know God's plan at the time. And guess what, guys? Even at age 44, I'm looking ahead. I don't know what God has planned over here. But I tell you one thing, I'm going to trust him. Because guess what? He ain't let me down yet. Anybody else been there? He ain't let me down yet. I don't even know if that's great English, Roberta. But I'm going to say it. He ain't let me down yet. So I'm going to trust him through the storms, through the things we face. And as we sang earlier, I'm going to cry out hallelujah. And I'm going to give him the glory. And I'm going to give him the praise. Why? Because he loves me and I love him. And I know he has a plan. So church, here's the question. Are you trusting in his plan? Say, okay, Pastor Jason, yeah, I'm trusting this plan. What about for your family? What about for your kids? You say, okay, well, I don't have kids. What about for those kids that are around you? Community, right? What about for our streets? Wouldn't it be awesome to hear on the news that there was no shootings? Wouldn't it be awesome to turn on the news and whatever the weather is, we just rejoice? You say, well, I'm not looking for that to happen, and I'm not looking for that to happen either, but I tell you one thing, amidst those storms, when we're able to trust God, even when we don't know where we're going, even when we want to question, even when we feel like we're just kind of like a blindfold on us, or we're in the dark and we're kind of stumbling around. How many of you ever done that? Wandered around a dark room and stumbled? Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay, I got a couple. Yeah. Yeah, you ever did that? You should have turned on the light, but you didn't, right? Right? And you stubbed that baby toe and you want to cry, fall out. And the only person you could be mad at is yourself. Why? Because you didn't turn on the light. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's the light. And every time I read the word of God, I come away, wow, God, man, you're doing something. As Paul is writing to the Romans, we see it. Just pick up in verse 7. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Verse 8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Not only make God a priority, not only be assured he will never leave nor forsake you, point three, not only trust that he has a plan, but my favorite word, and it was my word from the last message, it still applies today, freedom. Point four, freedom. Freedom when we don't fear. You see, when change happens, we can have freedom. How many of you want freedom from something this morning? Raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, you can have freedom in the name of Jesus. Why? Turn to him. Maybe you know somebody in your family said they need freedom. You see, each of these points build on one another. Watch it. Watch it. Make God your priority. Be assured he will never leave nor forsake you. Trust that he has a plan for you and know that you can have freedom from fear. Freedom. Not bondage. We talked about that. We just sang about it. Freedom. For who the Son sets free is what? Oh, church, you know it. That's good. Let's live it. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The question we ask is not so much what or how. When it comes to fear, we often ask when. And as I said earlier, let's trust in the freedom that God gives. We have the freedom in a few moments to go out those doors and go about our day. There's certain areas in the country that you can't go outside right now for fear of a hurricane. Thought about that? There's certain areas of the world where you can't hold up God's word and say, look at the light. Our job as a church is to go and spread the gospel and point people to Jesus Christ, to know him and to make him known. Here's how I want to close out. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. The ushers are going to wait on us in just a moment. But God gave me this. And I know it's the Holy Spirit. I've been praying about it. You know how when God kind of gives you something and kind of starts working on your heart, you start thinking? Pastor Mick has challenged us consistently to be a water walker. Now, I want you to stay with me with this. Consistently, and I love it, the visual, the image, and we know Peter on the boat, we get it. If you don't know the story, Peter, who saw Jesus, got out of the boat and drew close to Jesus, and when he took his eyes off Jesus, began to sink. Fear. What happens in our lives when the boat rocks a little? I'm not even getting to the point of being a water walker. We get that. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and your boat is rocking. The turbulence is coming in. And in everything that I just shared with you in these last few moments, you're thinking, okay, I want to get out of the boat and I want to follow Jesus. But God is just giving me, maybe as that boat starts to rock and if we just kind of look at it with spiritual eyes, maybe now we start to pray. Because the boat's just rocking. Oh, we're going to get out the boat because God has prompted us to. But maybe you're sitting here and your boat's just rocking. Let's be honest. Maybe it's been rocking for a little while. Maybe there's some pain that's been rocking that boat. And even in the hearing of my voice, it's all brought back up. Well, can I tell you? We are not giving into the spirit of fear. Because we serve a king who will hold our hand through it all. And you know what he says? My son, my daughter, it's going to be all right because I got you. You hear me? I got you. You have no need to fear. For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You hear me, church? So when that boat starts to rock, and Jesus is standing there saying, just come out on the water, you seek him, and don't take your eyes off him. Because when things change, you can want to fear, but we have a Savior that guides you through it. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward. We're going to worship, and maybe you have those prayer cards, and I want to take just a second as we announced earlier, and maybe you say, man, I've got a particular prayer request. Now is the time. Write that down. Write it down. Have people praying for you. Maybe you say, I need to just talk to a pastor. You've got people here that will be willing to engage with you. Maybe you said, you know, I'm going to have to go real quick and I'm not going to be able to stop to talk to Katie. Put that down. She'll contact you. But take this time now. Maybe fear is rocking that boat and you don't know what to do. There's a situation, you see a storm on the horizon. The ushers are gonna take those cards, write them down as they're taking our offering. Let me pray with you, and the worship team's gonna lead us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that when this old rocky life, this boat begins to rock, we don't have to fear. We make you our priority. We are sure that you will never leave nor forsake you. We trust that you are there, and we have freedom to know you are there. So God, as we worship, wait on each of us, Lord. Move those fears out of the way. Move those obstacles out of the way and allow us to have time with you. The name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the name that gives power, courage, and conviction. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you join me and stand as we worship?